what a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in... No, I don't think so. Good evening and welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. I will try not to doze off and go to sleep. Can't promise you that, but, you know, things happen once in a while. You're listening to us live this 14th day of July, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I got off the air last night and began to work on a, you know, I'm batching it for the next, I don't know, 2 weeks. Wife, my eldest granddaughter in Chicago. And it's allowing me to get things done in this place without interruption, without being hammered on every 10 minutes for, you want water, you want water, you want water. Yeah, I want water to go stick my head in and drown myself. Now, don't ask me again. But I've got, you know, decorating fever, per se, not a la Barney Frank, but hanging a lot of pictures and pieces of art and my film poster collection and things like that. I've got like 18-foot high ceilings, so I got a lot of wall space to cover. And just getting a lot of cleaning done, some painting. We get things done tomorrow. I literally was up till 3 o'clock last night. And part of that was because I received a phone call. No, I told you I will not divulge who and what it was about, so my friend, don't worry about that. But I had a phone call last evening from a listener to this program. We were on the phone for several hours. I was able to get some work accomplished while we were talking, although he was scared to death I was going to fall off a ladder where I was sitting up there 16, 18 feet in the air. Never happened. And after he and I got off, I finished. But there were still things that I needed to get done last night that did not get done. I'll have to get them done tonight because I'm working some time-sensitive issues. So you get tired. You drag. I just finally ate and literally had lunch an hour ago with my daughter. That was my breakfast and my lunch. But there's much going on in the world today, and I'll tell you, the markets continue to react, obviously negatively, and gold continues to pump itself up. And, well, you know, what can you do? Make sure I can hear that music because I'm not looking at the screen where you and I are on. Anyway, we come back from the break. I'm going to give you some market updates. Couple of little comments. We're going to go in an unusual and interesting direction on this program today. I think you're going to learn something out of it. Certainly, if not, it's something you're going to want to pass on to others. So stay with us, and I think we'll be back.
Blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today. Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Apropos song for this program, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Or Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime? Probably made famous by Bing Crosby back during the Depression. This version, however, by my good friend Richie Connick and out of New Orleans. And, Richie is actually a pretty good friend. He's been a longtime listener and supporter of my programs. And I'm always proud to play his tunes. Hang on here. Yeah, let's choke on it. Well, lots of things happened today. The ongoing battles with this nonsense where apparently our illustrious leader threw a hissy fit yesterday, a la Barney Frank, and stalked out of there, stormed out of one of these budget meetings. And, of course, he says he didn't do it, and others say he did. And now the $4 trillion in cuts have now been whittled down to only $1.5 trillion. Come on. They're going to resolve this whole thing hours before the August 2nd deadline comes. Okay? This is pure theater. Okay? You know, you got a few people holding out like Cantor. Now, Cantor is being called by Harry Reid basically a jerk, saying that this guy should be booted out of the meetings because he's just holding the whole discussion up. No, he's trying to hold some people's feet to the fire, and they don't like they're not liking the heat is what's going on. Pretty interesting stuff. The markets themselves, for whatever reason, Dow Jones Industrial down 54 to close at 12,437. NASDAQ off 34. At 2763, S&P 500 down 9 at 1309. Global Dow's even down 12 at 2096. Gold surpassed $1,590 an ounce today, currently at 1586. Oh, and by the way, oil is on its way back up at $95.94, up 25 cents in the after trading day. That's the gist of what we're looking at. Of course, little Timmy Geithner, who either has naturally curly hair or gets a coif weekly, says that we're running out of time. There is no way to give Congress more time to solve this problem. Well, problem is, Geithner, is that Congress has had decades to solve this problem. They've chosen to ignore it and exacerbate the problem. So Wall Street was on its way up today, and Bernanke pulled the rug out, not off his head, because he obviously has no room for one up there. Bernanke continues to run his mouth. He says, oh, there's not going to be any QE3. You can call it whatever you want, Ben, but it's going to have to happen. I'd rather it not. I'd much rather face a degree of pain today than face bigger pain in 5 or 10 years. Now, also, you'll note I, once again, third day in a row, I've done very little on the website, republictradinggroupinternational.com this week. I frankly have not had time. And by the time I've been able to get to it, it was so late at night, so early in the morning, I was dragging butt. I have chosen most of this week to make one single post a day. And frankly, the post that we have at RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com today says enough. Silver back on the march. You take a look at the chart. You see what's going on. Now, silver, very quietly moving up again. $38.21, I believe, as we speak. We have not large quantities, but we do have quantities of silver eagles available for you. You want to buy just one roll? I can handle it. If all you've got is enough funds and you're wanting to buy silver eagles and all you can handle is buying 10 coin, I will be happy to do it for you. You give me a call, 1-800-691-7898, obviously not while I'm on the air. They will cost you $3.85 over spot. That is less of a premium today than we had to pay 5 weeks ago if we were purchasing a whole box. And this is not even coming from a primary supplier, but a secondary supplier. Keep adding to your silver holdings. You will be thankful that you have done so. Very important. So that was my sole post for the day. Yesterday was a piece called A Run on the United States Government. The day before that, Simon Black's piece, Does the U.S. Government Want to Prevent You from Leaving? Time issues, time-sensitive issues have prevented me from doing my normal all-night posting. Therefore, we've done these mini postings. What else? That's enough. I guess that's enough. What else we got? Jeff Reeves saying why the U.S. could use a strategic default. Chuck Yaffe in an article called How the IRS Audit Got Me and Missed You. And it goes on and on and on. J.P. Morgan's profit structure was much higher than expected. Jobless claims fell last week. But the problem is we know that 3 weeks from now they'll adjust last week's figures and say, oops, we dropped the dangling participle or some stupid thing like that. What else we got? Can farming make it in the city? Of course it can. You don't need much room to grow a very lucrative amount of ground space with food on it. Oh, is that what today is? Today's Bastille Day in France. Yes, amazing. You going to run out and see the Sarah Palin movie this weekend, Undefeated? Opens in 10 cities this weekend. I'm tempted to go see it. I'm curious. I want to know what the other side's up to. I still don't like those duality flags she wears on her dresses and her blazers and whatever the case may be. One of the flags is red, white, and blue, and the other one is light blue and white. And I just don't buy into the nonsense. This is an interesting bit of news I saw today. I get fascinated with things like this. Out of Drake Island, Michigan, a team of underwater explorers have found two long-lost shipwrecks in northeastern Lake Huron. Thunder Bay Marine Sanctuary yesterday announced the discovery of the schooner MF Merrick and the steel freighter Eutruria in deep water off Presque Island. I know I'm not pronouncing it right. Who cares? They were detected during an expedition called Project Ship Hunt, which involved scientists and historians from the National Oceanographic, so I can't pronounce anything today, and Atmospheric Administration, and five high school students from Saginaw, Michigan. Both ships sank after colliding with steamers in dense fog. The 138-foot-long Merrick went down in, get this, 1889. Five crew members were killed. The intact hull was found resting upright on the bottom of the lake. I'm looking at a video of this right now. It is absolutely amazing to me. Now, the Etruria was 414 feet long, sank in 1905, just 3 years after it was launched. Today, the steamer sits upside down in deep water. This is fascinating stuff. Pieces of history being discovered at the bottom of the ocean. So, life goes on. Well, moments before going on the air, I received a email commentary from my granny. Tonight we talk about economics, but not in the same fashion that you would expect us to talk about it. We're going to be talking about poverty tonight. We know that since Barack Hussein Obama took possession of the White House, whether under legal or illegal means is not the issue tonight. The number of Americans on food stamps has increased immeasurably to some 43 or 45,000 people in this country today living on food stamps. Of course, how many of those people are the families, who the parents are illegals, but the kids were anchor babies? We don't know that. I suppose somebody might know it, but we don't know it. But it's indicative of the times when your jobs are continuing to be offshored, outsourced, when you continue to issue various forms of visas to import medical and scientific people from other nations because our education system is no longer developing properly those kind of people for those kind of positions. We have become a service-oriented nation. We are no longer a producing nation. Oh, we produce automobiles. But where does the steel come from that goes into those automobiles? Where does the fabric come from that goes onto the seats and onto the flooring or the carpeting? Little of it's coming out of North Carolina anymore, I'll tell you that, boy. And so poverty has become a huge issue in this country. And with the continued allowance of the illegal invasion of this nation, eating up by hook or by crook, by lie, by deceit, by whatever means, to suck up the jobs and be able to force a lower wage scenario for the benefit of the employers, we've got massive unemployment levels today. You can talk percentages all you want, but the fact of the matter is the number of people unemployed in this country today greatly exceeds that of the so-called Great Depression. What brought us out of the Great Depression? Do you know? It was called the attack on Pearl Harbor. That effectively was the end of the Great Depression. Immediately, America went to work building the Wehrmacht, the war machine, ships and planes and bombers and bombs themselves and clothing for the military and all the other accoutrements that were needed. By the way, my friend Bill O'Brien called me from the airport this morning in New York. He's off to Poland to literally engineer one of the last working steam trains in Poland. October comes, my friend, and I can't wait for you to get here. So, Granny, in the scheme of this discussion of, poverty, people out of work, people of different ethnicities, of different backgrounds, of different socioeconomic levels, etc., all treat unemployment and handouts in a different way. Granny says, and she rarely watches television, but she, for some reason, was watching some local news And she said in the local news there was film footage of 1,000 or so people in Dallas, Texas, who began lining up yesterday for a chance at some federal-funded rent vouchers. Federally funded rent vouchers. That means we, our taxpayer, the money they're stealing from us, is going to get handed out to somebody else so they can get them some free rent, baby. You remember that video that came out early on when Obama became president and they were asking this rather slovenly pig who was going to make her mortgage payment? She said, Obama going to pay for it. Obama going to pay for it. Well, so early this morning in Texas, these people are standing in line waiting to get these federally funded rent vouchers. These people broke lines and ran, trampling each other just to get to the door, just to get a chance at a rent voucher that, according to the news story, won't even be usable for 2 years. 2 years, mind you, into the future. Now, the other thing that Granny noticed in that footage was that the only whites she saw were the police. Get offended if you will, but this is reality, ladies and gentlemen. All the people doing the running and the trampling and the injuring of other people to get a chance at a free rent voucher were black. Not even Hispanic, not even illegals. They were blacks. Sometimes known as African Americans or Negroes or colored people, depending upon how old you are and how you wish to look at it. So then it switches over to the national news. They showed footage of hundreds, maybe thousands. Granny said she didn't hear the number, just saw the pictures, of people lined up for a job. Far more people lined up for a job than the number of jobs that were available. And all were in an orderly line. All people having compassion and understanding for the rest of the people in line that were all there for the same reasons. And they weren't trampling all over each other to get to the front door. They weren't stepping on people, tripping them, falling all over each other. They weren't involved with fisticuffs or beating the crap out of each other. But the thing that was interesting is that all the people standing in those nice, orderly little lines awaiting their turn appeared to all be, guess what? People of Caucasian pigmentation. White. And so Granny says, so the moral is, if you are black, you run over each other just to get a chance at a rent voucher that'll be good 2 years from now. But those same people won't go stand in a line three blocks down the street looking for a job. What is wrong in this, with this picture? What is wrong in this nation today? Are we grown up with the belief that, well, you're white, so you're right, and you got to stand in line to get a job? But if you're black, get back. We'll give you some free food. We'll give you some free rent. We'll give you some free clothes. We'll give you whatever you'll need. But don't you worry about going to work, because over here we got Whitey. He's going to work and take care of you. Is that what that means? It's like Granny closed with saying, if you're white, you stand nicely in a long line, even though you may not have a place to live at the moment. Granny says, just my take on two stories today. And so, my friends, we face poverty in America today. Now, let's face it, if our good friends in D.C. have anything to do with it, there's going to be a lot more poor people in this country than there are people with anything. Poor. P-O. As in poverty struck. You see, realize it or not, living here in America, poverty is on the rise in this country. And buying passivity with cheap bribes has limits when applied to a fraying middle class. If jobs are not coming back, then we as a nation need a conversation about poverty in America. Because you see, the status quo assumption is that this is just another garden variety recession and that employment will bounce back along with the animal spirits that drive borrowing and spending. As of next month, 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away, as of August 2011, it will be 3 years since the global financial meltdown. And in 3 years, the savior state has borrowed and blown $6 trillion maintaining the status quo. And the Federal Reserve has printed almost $3 trillion and shoveled that vast sum into what they call risk assets to keep housing on life support and the stock market rising. Of course, the Fed has also devalued and debased the dollar, stealing wealth from the citizenry and holders of U.S. denominated debt in the process to serve two specific goals. First, to spark inflation and thus avoid deflationary deleveraging of the nation's fast-growing mountain of debt. And secondly, to enable servicing that debt with cheaper dollars. None of these grandiose manipulations has healed the economy or fixed the structural problems which made the meltdown inevitable. And one of many ironies here is that so many people believe the power elites controlling the nation have some sort of godlike ability to maintain their grip on the levers of power. Well, it's certainly true that the wealth of the power elites has increased as a result of the meltdown and the Fed's savior state response. Ultimately, the financial and political elites' power depends on the passivity and complicity of the citizens. And, oh boy, we've been just drinking that Kool-Aid down. Hey, Jack, give me a back Big Mac meal with a large portion of government Kool-Aid. Power elite Kool-Aid. Pekka. Yeah, well, they're all a bunch of Pekka Woods anyway. That's P-E-K-A. Power elite Kool-Aid. You like that, Granny? Pekka? All this means is that the power elite. I think we're going to a break. I don't know. I hear nothing. All this stuff means the power elites must buy off or co-opt the majority of citizens to keep them politically neutered and malleable. You see, the status quo has two basic methods of buying the citizens' complicity. A vibrant economy that supports a middle class that thus has a stake in maintaining the status quo. And cash bribes to everyone else to keep quiet. In other words, social benefits, entitlements, welfare, free rent vouchers, surplus peanut butter, and cheese. By doing all this thing, it renders everyone either dependent on cash payments from the savior state or a stakeholder of the status quo. Corporate welfare is not a bribe, but a mutually beneficial power grab. The cartel corporatocracy seeks to eliminate competition from below and guarantee low-risk profits via cartels and quasi-monopolies, all the while achieving these goals by purchasing the partnership of the savior state, which smothers competition with thickets of regulations and greases the quasi-monopolies sought by the corporatocracy. Which is interesting, reading a column headline late last night that all this money that's been earmarked for small business, etc., is being siphoned off and sent to the fat cats instead. But none of this is a one-way exchange in extending its control over the economy and society to serve the corporatocracy's interests. These central states own elites. Well, while all this is going on, they're gaining even more power. There are those who see the middle class as the natural enemy of the state and corporatocracy, but this misses the essential relationship of the power elites to their citizenry, the need of the elites to buy complicity and passivity by the cheapest methods available. It's certainly possible to use repression to keep a populace under control, but repression it's expensive, doesn't encourage productive buy-in. Rather, it encourages opting out and resentful compliance. This leaves less for the elites to skim off of. And over time, it's rather obvious that regimes that rely on heavy-handed repression tend to fall, while those that offer a small, low-cost stake to citizens are much more profitable to the ruling elites and also more stable. Does all of this sound familiar? I mean, it should. You're living it, baby, every single day. The crumbling of the credit bubble economy has mortally wounded the middle class and has created a serious problem for the power elites. In extending the credit bubble economy, in other words, wealth, is created via exponential expansion of debt to housing. The power elites undermine the multi-generational bedrock of middle-class wealth, and that was your home. But with housing equity stripped away, the erosion of middle-class income and non-housing wealth has now been exposed. Of course, I don't know how you can expose something that no longer exists, but that's another story. The power elite's other wealth technique, globalization, has also gutted the middle class in America below the top 10% level of technocrats. It has decimated the working class in this country that had aspirations of joining the middle class. In other words, the lower middle class. There was a column put out not that long ago, because it seems to me that I may have even shared it with you on this program. It was published on February 9th of this year, and it was entitled, "We Don't Need No Stinking Jobs." Because global corporate America has decoupled from the American middle class. Its interests are now international rather than domestic. We are being abandoned. We ain't got no more wool to sheep, baby, or to shear. We're the sheep. There's no more wool on us to go ahead and shave off. They've taken it all. We're running butt naked all over this country every day. And what's the power elite's response to all of this? Borrow, borrow, and borrow. Blow trillions of dollars to prop up the engine of their own wealth. The banks borrow trillions from future taxpayers to maintain the current status quo and devalue the U.S. dollar. They've all failed to reflate housing or middle-class incomes. Rather, these actions only succeeded in enriching the top 10% who own the majority of the stocks anyway. The prop job in stocks has yielded a propaganda coup, as the status quo has successfully identified a rising stock market as proof the recovery is here. That propaganda is beginning to wear thin. For 90% of the populace are realizing they're still poorer than they were 3 years ago. Now, the power elites cannot understand why making credit cheap ain't creating jobs. It's just making credit cheap, and it's making indebtedness more expensive. Kind of like decrepit generals fighting the last war. They keep sending waves of credit into the system to overpower deflation and reignite animal spirits, but the waves of credit are being mowed down by deleveraging and the exhaustion of credit as a stimulus. In other words, they're all clueless to the reality that conventional economics has failed. Conventional meaning Keynesian, of course. And they have no plan B. Their only plan, such as it is to borrow more money and spend it propping up the current status quo. But unfortunately for them, the middle class is unraveling at the edges. And the surest evidence of that is the loss of middle class jobs. And we spoke of that earlier in the week, how those who are being forced to go back to work, those in their middle age or in the middle class, aren't going to find jobs anymore. They want the dummies that are just coming out of high school and college because they can get them cheap. And none of them are smart enough to be able to retort back to you when you are guiding them in an incorrect direction. The rest of us are too smart. We've been down the road. We've ridden this horse before. And what are you going to do? Go to work for some 24-year-old punk who not only is still wet behind the ears, his head is still buried in his... No, never mind. You got to understand something. Without good paying jobs with benefits and rising housing equity, then the citizens have no stake left in the status quo. And when the citizens finally realize that they have no stake left and no hope and no chance and no opportunities, the end result in this nation one day will turn ugly. At what point do 1,000 white people finally get angry and trample each other trying to get a voucher for free rent? How many of those 1,000 free rent taxpayer-funded vouchers are going to get picked up by those black people that are going to get sold for 80 cents on the dollar? And the second time they're sold, it'll be 60 cents on the dollar. It'll finally get down to the fact that somebody will sell one of those vouchers off just to get a snort of some crack. All of this leaves entitlements and welfare as the cash bribes for keeping quiet. What's remarkable about the current pastiche of social benefits is how cheap it is to the power elites. Extended unemployment, $158 billion. Food stamps at $68 billion. Section 8 housing, $20 billion. Veterans Administration medical care for vets at $47 billion. They spend less money for Veterans Administration medical care for vets than they do handing food stamps out in this country. Isn't that sickening? All of these figures amount to $293 billion. That's nearly 8% of the federal spending. It's 8%. What do we get? There's a lot of statistics here we've shared with you, and they come from amazingly accurate sources. Of course, all of it's the taxpayers who are going to foot the bill for the deficit spending, not the elites. Thing I can't figure out, if fewer and fewer people are working, where's the tax money going to come from to be able to take care of the rest of those 1,000 people that are trying to kill each other over a month's worth of free rent? Before I would stand in line trying to get a rent voucher and got involved with a flash mob, per se, trampling each other, I'd sleep in the back of my car with my head held high, if I still owned a car, that is. This ideological political theater stages full combat over welfare. But this is all for show, just like these debit fights up in D.C. It's for show outside the circus. Cash bribes for complicity and silence work equally well for both flavors of the status quo political elites. The left's concern, as it were, for the poor is transparently phony. The left's only concern is to keep the underclass fat, dumb, and distracted while enriching its own private fiefdoms such as education, public school fiascos in Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. But what truly terrifies the left is the same thing that terrifies the right, that the citizenry might break free of the bonds of dependency on the savior state and start demanding a real stake in the economy rather than just a cash bribe to shut up. Here, kid, stick this lollipop in your mouth and shut up. We were told that stuff when we were kids. It doesn't work anymore, at least not for me. These are the reasons why welfare and middle-class entitlements in numerous different flavors have continued growing for decades under both the left and the right regimes. Two-headed snake, Granny, right? There's the left head and the right hand, or right head. And upon occasion, they'll wrap their necks around each other and, geez, maybe they'll finally break each other's necks. Wouldn't that be cool? But in all of this, the whole thing has been quite a scam. The savior state borrows immense sums of money from future taxpayers, meaning your children and grandchildren, in order to bribe the current crop of dumbed-down sheep. And these same citizenry pay the rising interest on that growing debt via the taxes. How can they be paying taxes when they're not working and they're on the government dole? I don't get it figured out. It's a scam, all right. You see, the debt serfs pay for the bribes that keep them complicit. I remember being in the service back in the 60s, and it did not take too long that it dawned on me. I realized that every fourth check I was getting as a member of the U.S. Army, I, in effect, was paying myself. The taxes that they took out of my check. Look, when I went in there, you know, as a lowly little E1, what were they paying? $78 a month? Who the hell can survive on $78 a month? Of course, that's back in the 60s when money was worth more than it is today. But with all this, you got to understand, the problem is, through all this, is that the status quo has overshot systemic equilibrium. To keep the game going, the debt load is rising at almost $2 trillion a year at the federal level alone, and the Fed's manipulations are requiring a cool trillion a year in printed money shoveled into risk assets. Hey, wait a minute. I'm going to go to court next week, and I'm going to legally petition they change my name to risk assets, and the government go ahead and shovel $1 trillion a year to me to Mr. Risk Assets. That's right. Hey, welcome to Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. I'm your host and commentator, Risk Assets. Whew. Look, the interest on this skyrocketing debt of ours will eventually crimp the borrowing binge. And the Fed's games are igniting not job growth, my friends, but they're igniting inflation, which further saps what little is left of middle-class purchasing power. Purchasing power? As a member of what I used to be the middle class, I'd like to have survivorship power. That'd be good enough. Purchase my gas, my food. Hey, Lord knows, if the man says you got to sell that car, boy, all you got to have is your beach cruiser bicycle, I'll get on that bicycle. And just like a hooker up in Vegas, I'll peddle my assets all over town. The Fed's manic manipulations may be losing their effectiveness. Kind of like insulin in a pre-diabetic patient, the Fed's massive injections of money are not stimulating jobs nor productive investment. Each new announcement of easing generates a smaller jolt of ever shorter duration. At some point, the economy will respond to the Fed's easing injection by going straight into diabetic shock. There's two cultural issues in play throughout all of this. One of the key characteristics of the middle class is high expectations for future power and prosperity. The poor have lower expectations, and so it's relatively easy to buy them off with small sums, a little WIC, a few food stamps, little free rent vouchers that you can kill each other to get. But the middle class isn't as satisfied with crumbs. They're not satisfied to get paid to stay home and watch television. TV does not appeal to their values or expectations of life in America. The other issue is the destructive nature of dependence on the savior state, a dynamic once explored in the code of dependency and the atrophy of self-reliance. Making people dependent upon the savior state is not ending poverty, my friends. It is creating a deeper, more pervasively destructive poverty of lost opportunity and shriveled enterprise. People naturally want to contribute to something meaningful and to be respected. And being paid to sit home and watch television doesn't do that. What it does do is fuel a low-intensity resentment against dependency and a pathological incentive for victimhood, neither of which are healthy for the society or those reduced to dependency on the savior state. But the power elites are slowly losing their grip on the middle class as the middle class loses their grip on their former life. You see, once people no longer have a stake in the status quo, then they might become dissatisfied with the cheap bribes to stay home and rot away, consuming Pringles and entertainment on the telly. Of course, if you sit around on your fat assets and do nothing but consume the Pringles and the Doritos and the occasional soda or the six-pack of Diet Pop every day, et cetera, pretty soon you're going to be standing in line for Obamacare, the death camps. Sorry, you're too old. We can't give you that kidney transplant. We're going to let you die. The doctors say you're going to die. I can't tell that story on the air. It's pretty foul. And so when you look back on all of it, all these citizens who are paying the tab for the power elite's debt excesses are also seeing their stake in the status quo slip in value, being reduced to a tax donkey. Tax donkey. Doesn't fulfill my expectations. What about yours? The bottom line, my friends, is poverty on several levels is rising in America. Cash bribes are not a stable solution, though they certainly are a cheap one to the power elites. Published this day on Of Two Minds, Charles Hugh Smith. A powerful commentary. Thanks to Granny for her contributions to this day's broadcast. Have we got a break coming up? Because I ain't heard no music or nothing, baby. I hope you haven't been running breaks and I've just been talking to myself. All right, cool. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
As is usual, my friends, the number of emails coming on during the program tonight has been interesting, some of them satirical in nature, others not so much. Granny sent me an email talking about the two news pieces we talked about near the beginning of the hour, and she said, and all those blacks who were trampling each other for free rent vouchers were not underfed. I guess Michelle Obama needs to go down and sit down and talk to them about proper nutrition. And finally, an email was just came in from a listener, a regular, as it were. He says, Jeff, this morning I came out of my local food store. When I got to my car, I heard someone saying, hello, hello. I turned to look where the person was. He was on the sidewalk next to where my car was parked at the food store. And he said, now, wait, I'm not going to mug you. And he went on to ask for me to give him money for breakfast, at which time I pointed to the McDonald's a block away and said, okay, follow me over there and I'll buy you breakfast. But this guy wanted money. I said no to him and got into my car as he began to yell obscenities at me as I left. Well, let's just say I'm sure that the obscenities included the singular word MF, because he was a black guy in his 50s. Now, I want you to all understand something, that not all blacks I know are like this, but the economics of, quote, one of their own, the one who called himself the one, is catching up with people of color. The black people have been trampled on by the allowance of the illegal invasion to the point that their unemployment numbers are higher than they've been in decades. And so the email I received went on to say, I later talked to the manager of the food store, who said that the manager had earlier chased the man off the premises for doing the same thing to others he had done to me. It wasn't so much that the guy asked for money, but when he got angry and aggressive and started in on me, my listener says, that's when I got worried and left. The younger ones, They'll simply take what they need. They won't ask. It's coming. Jeff, we're in for it, my friend. He's not the only angry black guy out there. You're correct about that. But I wonder how long that the individuals of the Caucasian pigmentation are going to stand idly by being so damn polite. When you're hungry, politeness ain't got nothing to do with it. You think of the song in Carousel, where the man realizes his wife is with child, and he believes it's going to be a boy, and then all of a sudden he softens and says, but hey, wait a minute. What if he is a girl? And then he goes into this marvelous soliloquy, and that's the name of the piece of music. And the basis of it is, I'll do what I have to do. I'll go out and make it, or steal it, or take it, or die. That's what parents will do for their children and grandchildren, but now people are going to do it for themselves. Take care of yourselves till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett.
I've got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has, and I got you.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming.